Okay, so the, I mean, as you said, the paper is about spatial sound reproduction, but using high-order loudspeakers. So let me just briefly go through the some motivation or some background. So as you know, I mean, we could do the spatial sound field reproduction and within a given desired within a given region of space. So the idea is to, given a desired sound field, spatial sound field, you reproduce it using a bunch of loudspeakers. So there are two common techniques people use in the literature. So the one is the wave field synthesis, or the using the Kirchhoff-Helmholtz integral, or KH integral, and then the other one is, you know, we call it cylindrical or spherical harmonic decomposition, or commonly high-order ambisonics. So the one thing with the both of these techniques are, when you try to use them to reproduce a sound in a region, you need actually a lot of large number of loudspeakers. For example, if you, for a frequency, say f or wave number k with the wavelength lambda, if the reproduction region is a radius of r, then the number of loudspeakers you need is approximately, say, two times kr plus one. So it's proportional to the frequency, which is proportional to the wave number, and then the radius of the region. So when you want to have a large, I mean, when if you want to increase the frequencies, then obviously the number of loudspeakers are going to be, in a sense, unrealistic. So, for example, reproduction over a 0.1 meter radius at 16 kilohertz requires like 60 loudspeakers. So that's in a, if you assume a 2D field. But if it's a 3D case, then the number of loudspeakers are going to be the square of kr plus one, approximately. So that's one of the drawbacks of the current sound reproduction systems. Another issue is, when you try to do this reproduction over an area, obviously, if you do it in a room, there will be reverberation coming from, because the sound goes, you know, outside the region as well. So there will be reflection coming back, so that will change your original sound field. So to compensate that, sometimes you can do the equalization type techniques, or you can build in these algorithms to the loudspeaker signal processing. And also in the literature, it has been shown that if you use, rather than just the omnidirectional loudspeakers, but first order, say, radial dipole or fixed directivity loudspeakers, you can actually try to reduce the sound field going outside the your region of your desired region. So we call the interior field as the field within the region of interest, and then the outside the loudspeaker array is the exterior field. So using, say, KH integral or wave field synthesis, using say radial dipoles, you can actually eliminate the outside field. But of course, generally, it is a problem that the reverberation coming from the walls and things like that. Another bit of a background. So there is a thing called Nyquist frequency when you're talking about loudspeaker arrays, which is simply the frequency corresponding to the half wavelength separation in the loudspeakers if you're looking at, say, a circular array. So as I said, in literature, there were some works which shows that if you use the fixed directivity speakers, you can actually reduce this sound field going outside, which is called exterior field. Okay, so the summary of the issues with the spatial sound field reduction is, one is that you need the large number of loudspeakers, and then two is this reverberation coming from the field, exterior field. So it would be nice if we could use the less number of loudspeakers, and also if you can have the field going outside, which is exterior field, is less or minimized. So what's the key contribution of this paper is that we use high-order variable directivity loudspeakers for sound reproduction. For in this particular paper, we're just using 2D case. So that means you assume you have these loudspeakers which would be able to produce variable directivity patterns, and then you combine them in an array to produce your sound wave. And then we show that if you use an nth order variable loudspeakers, then actually you can increase that Nyquist frequency or the maximum operating frequency by n times. Or the other words, if you keep the frequency constant, you can increase the region of reproduction by n times. Or alternatively, you can keep the region size and then the frequency, then you can reduce the number of loudspeakers by one or n times. Okay, so, but what this paper is not about is how to design these high-order loudspeakers. So this is about, you know, if for some way, if we can have those high-order loudspeakers, how you can use them to reproduce the sound field. Okay, so normally a desired sound field could be written using this equation. This is just so this is an interior field, so within the loudspeaker array. So this is given by, again, for the two-dimensional case, which means we just assume the height invariant field. So which is given by these Bessel functions, which relate to the radial and frequency, and then the angle. And then the desired sound field can be given by a bunch of coefficients, say an. So because of the, due to some the Bessel function properties, you can truncate this expansion to n, say n terms from minus n to plus n. So if we're using omnidirectional loudspeaker array, then of course you need L loudspeakers, which L need to be equal to say 2n plus 1. So suppose we our desired sound field is given by that. And then the idea is, okay, how do you reproduce the sound field using L loudspeakers position at, I mean, for example, this paper we're using the, just a circular array. Okay, so if we just use omnidirectional loudspeakers, then the for 2D case, the each loudspeaker is a monopole, which is given by or proportional to this factor, which is the H naught is the zeroth order Hankel function. And then these are, R is a vector to any point in the required space, and then RL is the point to a vector to the vector to a one of the loudspeakers. So you can expand that function using this well-known identity. So for interior field where the R is less than the radius of the loudspeaker array, you have this expansion. And then for exterior field, you get these two soap, and then you have that. So here again, HM is the mth order cylindrical Hankel function, and then JM is the mth order Bessel function. So if you use the nth order sound sources or loudspeakers, then the you can expect it would have a sound field given by this factor, which is nth order directivity pattern with the directional and frequency dependence. So where beta L is say angle between this angle to this vector from whatever the x-axis. So again, you can expand this term using two cases, the exterior case and the, sorry, interior case and the exterior case. So again, you got these Bessel functions coming in here. So the you can see that there is m plus n term, and then here's the m plus n term here happening there. Otherwise, the difference between the exterior and the interior is that the interchange of H and J. Okay, so using nth order sound sources, I mean, if you combine, say, capital N and minus capital N together, you can pretty much get cos N phi and sine N phi terms, or directivity patterns. So a loudspeaker which produces a general nth order variable directivity will be a combination of these. So we can say an array of L general N-tho resources will produce a field given by, you know, these are the bunch of coefficients for each N-tho order loudspeaker. So this is the Lth loudspeaker, and then N is the what's the weighting for the Nth order. So you can then what you could do is you can equate that equation to the your desired sound field. So this is your sound field due to these Nth order loudspeakers, and then you can equate that to your desired sound field, and then, you know, integrate both sides by Ej, say N phi, and then you can get the mode matching solution, so-called mode matching solution for both the interior field and exterior field. So the interior field, we have a bunch of coefficients which gives your desired coefficient, desired sound field, and then for exterior mode, exterior field, you would like there is no energy goes outside, so you can assume the coefficients for exterior field is zero. So you've got these two equations for interior mode and exterior mode for M goes from minus N to M. So now you can actually combine these two equations together to form a single system, single matrix equation. So you can combine them, so the H does include all these factors together. So the idea is then to try to find the weight matrix or weight vector, which is for each loudspeaker and in each mode of the each loudspeaker. So of course you can solve that, and then you can use it for so of course to do that you need to have these the number of available modes need to be less than the product of the the N is the highest order of loudspeaker, and then L is the number of loudspeakers. And also we know for a given region we need to have that the number of reproducible modes are given by frequency times the radius. So we done a MATLAB simulation example. So we choose a circular array containing 15 higher order loudspeakers, and array radius is 3 meters. So for this particular case, if you just use the zeroth order ones, then the corresponding Nyquist frequency is 126 hertz. So the desired field is, so we have a desired field which is due to a source located at a radius of 6 meters at an angle 36 degrees, which is in fact halfway between two loudspeakers. So this is the reproduced sound field when we use the first order loudspeakers at frequency 125 hertz. So as you can see, so the source is somewhere there at 6 meters away. So you can see the field inside, and then the outside exterior field is less. And then this case where the same system, so we got these 15 loudspeakers first order, but evaluated at 350 hertz. So of course, you know, this is above the Nyquist frequency, so that correspondingly the circle or the allowable radius of where you can reproduce the sound field has been reduced from your original circle. And we calculate the error. So the error is defined by just the pressure difference between the reproduced field and then the original field divided by the pressure at the origin. That is for interior field, and then for our exterior field, because our original field we assume zero, so it's just this fraction. So this is the reproduction error at first order loudspeaker array at 350 hertz. So as you can see, there is significant error outside and then here as well, but only inside that region you have correct field. Okay, and then we look at using third order loudspeakers. So I mean, still we kept the number of loudspeakers to 15, and then we increase the order of each loudspeaker to 3, and look at 350 Hz. So in this case, obviously you can see the region of reproduction has increased again, and then outside you got an exterior field with the less energy. And this is the reproduction error in this case. So as you can see, of course, you know, when you go closer to a loudspeaker, which are third order, I mean, you got a lot of errors, but inside and outside there's less errors. And this is a case with a sixth order loudspeakers, again 15 loudspeakers and at 800 Hz. So in this case, I mean, obviously outside is not zero. So yeah, so as a conclusion, we use these high order loudspeakers just to see, you know, what's the improvement you can have. So what we kind of concluded that by using nth order loudspeakers, you can scale everything by n time, you know, either frequency or radius of convergence, or inversely, you can reduce the number of loudspeakers by 1/n. Thank you.
I think we have one question. Well, would you please step up to the microphone, please?
Can an nth order speaker be synthesized as a subarray?
I think you can. It could.
What's subarray processing?
Yeah, I mean, for example, say third order loudspeaker array, third order loudspeaker could be, say, reproduced by, say, using number of circular loudspeakers itself. But again, I mean, yeah, I mean, as I said, we haven't looked at those things. Yeah. But I mean, of course, that could be, you know, if you try to have a fourth order or fifth order loudspeaker array built from omnidirectional loudspeakers, the aperture size is going to be increased as well, right? Yeah, so you know, at the end of the day, you know, they're going to get bigger and bigger. So of course, you know, if somebody wants to manufacture these kind of things, then they need to look at other mechanical properties and things like that, rather than just based on omnidirectional type loudspeakers to get that thing.
Okay, we have a question here and a question by Ramani.
It's a question in the same direction. So considering multipole theory, so at the end, do you gain anything in the number of loudspeakers? So if you have to realize the directed loudspeakers by a number of monopoles, I guess at the end it's the same, or what's the difference?
Okay, so the, I mean, you know, as you know, there are not that many high order directivity loudspeakers as such, right?
Yeah.
So it is a thing people haven't done yet, right? So, I mean, if you just say kind of a poor man version of a high order loudspeaker is using a monopole loudspeakers together. So in that way, it is the same number, right? But of course, then it is more, so rather than having more loudspeakers around the circle, it is could be a same number of loudspeakers around a point around the circle, right? But again, I mean, as I said, you know, that's kind of, you know, poor man's version of a high order loudspeaker, right? But, you know, it's a technology that need to be developed, you know, if using mechanical properties and stuff like that.
Sort of question, just a remark. On the first question, I know that at Berkeley someone built a 192 loudspeaker, spherical loudspeaker array, which with 192 distinct elements. So that would be an example.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you would need to buy tens of those to do that.
Okay, thank you. One more question here.
I just wanted to ask whether you looked at the loudspeaker effort required, the kind of amount of energy you've got to put in for these higher orders.
No, I haven't looked at it. You mean the power consumption? No, we haven't looked at it that way. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, any more questions? Yeah, Augusto?
Just a comment on what was said before. Actually, having fewer, smaller arrays is something that is very promising from a technological standpoint. We're talking about just exactly what's happening with the microphone. We are already seeing some products that have MEMS arrays of microphones that are coming out that are entirely digital. Why shouldn't we expect the same thing happening with speakers? So imagine having small eigen speakers made in that. With MEMS technology, this would be exactly the direction to go.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, let's thank you again for this stimulating talk.
Okay.